You're listening to Transform Squadron. The podcast is zonebase.org. This is the November 2018 edition of the show, or episode 3, if you'd prefer. I'm Rob, and thanks everyone for listening. Coming back here for what's the third episode of the show, though it always feels like the fourth to me since there's that lost episode in spring I recorded. Still getting nothing but positive feedback. I thank everyone for listening, for being so positive in your feedback of the show. It really means a lot to me. Although I would like to point out a small mistake I made in last month's episode. When talking about soft vinyl toys, I kept saying Sobethu. That's incorrect. And I'll be quite honest with you guys, it's a common mistake I make. I've been observing soft vinyl toys for a very long time, and they've got a million and one nicknames. The most popular is Sofubi. At some point, I don't know if I've seen it. I swear I've seen it in type somewhere, heard it, or whatever. Maybe it's just my own little mental kludge up that I can't figure out where it came from. But I started accidentally saying Sofubi occasionally when referring to them. Now, it's not that big of a deal. Soft vinyl people are really, really casual about the naming of it, since there's so many different ways that maybe I did say a name that's just not very common. And a lot of soft vinyl people showed their support for the last month's episode, so I'm pretty confident in the fact that didn't really matter, but just kind of stuck in my crawl a little bit. So I just wanted to apologize for that up front this episode. Speaking of this episode, I'm actually spending today doing a lot of updates for zonebase.org. I had actually made myself a few weeks ago a nicer little light box to make pictures of the toys for the show, kind of giving myself a not very generic background for the toys and trying to put a little more effort into making pictures for Zonebase of toys and stuff when I'd cover them so they'd look great, because it's really fun to take pictures of your toys, you know. And yesterday, my wife surprised me with a light tent set up. So all these, I'm writing actually a bunch of posts right now. I actually just wrote two of them. And I got two more, actually a few more, good four posts. I've got to write and schedule to be distributed later this week. That's why it's not all at once, you know. And I'm getting used to this new photo tent. And it was really cool. I really liked it. I'm really, really looking forward to having. You know, a lot of times my earlier posts when I'd cover a toy, I was just taking a picture with my phone on a TV tray in my living room, you know. So this is a little nicer looking and hopefully just makes the toy look better. And that's what I want to do, you know. So I was really appreciative of her giving that to me. And I hope you guys appreciate the toys going forward. I'm actually working on a couple other ideas to improve the toys improve the pictures of the toys for upcoming posts, and hope you guys notice. Hope you guys appreciate it. I know I appreciate my wife giving me that cool little setup there. I've got to get used to using it, and it's got all these cool little colors and all sorts of stuff I can use. And being that's all in the package, it's all just a little wrinkly, and that shows up a little in the pictures, but it's not that big of a deal. It looks great. I was like, wow, this is cool. So thanks to her for that. And you know, today I'm recording this episode while doing a lot of work on Zonebase. It seems that Monday is my heavy work day for the site for doing stuff like this. When I do multiple posts or whatever, when I do a lot of toy reviews, a lot of times you just gotta find time to do things. And when you work my schedule, time is kind of a hard thing to find a lot of the time. So that's what I'm doing today. But today is November 5th as I'm recording this. I don't know when this episode will go up, either tonight or maybe later on in this week, or whenever it works into the TF Radio schedule. Being a monthly show, I just kind of go up when it works out best, I guess. Today is November 5th, and it's my friend Sean's birthday. Sean, of course, is the creator of the Don Tweets Twitter account, which is pretty popular, and he's a good friend of mine. I was actually just thinking about Toylana coming up, and looking forward to spending time with him at Toylana. And today's his birthday, so I just want to reach out and say, hey, man, happy birthday. He's actually been quite a big supporter of Zonebase, And look, he's almost like the unofficial zone based member, you know what I mean? So much thanks goes to him for all of his support over the time, I guess the 3 years I've been making Zone Base, and happy birthday, man. Going into, as I was talking about, the site itself, the Halloween post has ended as Halloween's over now, and I'm taking a few weeks, as I normally do, in between Halloween and Christmas to kind of rest myself, and this Christmas season, I'm starting what I hope to be a new tradition at Zone Base, and that's Christmas Chaos. Essentially, just like in real life, while I love Thanksgiving, it's kind of a low, kind of a chill holiday where you just kind of, you don't really worry about it till the week beforehand when you buy all the stuff to make Christmas dinner. And that's also when I mainly start celebrating Christmas in the back, in my head, even though it's in the back of my mind right now. And we've put up a few decorations, not the tree or anything, just a few here and there to kind of pacify my wife, who the minute it clicked, it's November 1st, she's Christmas, you know, it's cute as she can be. She starts watching Emmett Otter's Jug Band at least once a day from November 1st all the way through Christmas. Me, I need a little bit of a break from going Halloween crazy to going Christmas crazy. So Thanksgiving week is when my mind switches into Christmas mode. And that Thanksgiving week, I generally take a few days off of posting just because, you know, I have family coming over. It's a holiday weekend or whatever. And boom. Christmas chaos will begin when I start posting again shortly after that weekend. And I hope everyone likes it. It's Christmas in Zone Base. So, yeah. You know what to expect, I guess. So, getting in, since I just talked about Thanksgiving, I guess I should get into the meat and potatoes of this podcast. This month, I have a few things in mind to talk about. First off, I'd like to address what to me is a giant elephant in the room. And that would be SSSS Gridman. If you've been around the Transformers world or the Toku world or the Monsters world or any of the worlds right now going on, excuse me, you'll know SSSS Gridman is a big deal. It's one of the most popular animes going on right now, and for good reason. For those of you who don't know, this show, it's kind of a follow-up to the old show Gridman, which was a early 90s tokusatsu production made by Tsuburaya. Tsuburaya, of course, being the company that makes Ultraman. Gridman was very Ultraman-like, but a superhero that could place on the internet. And the show was brought to America as Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad about a year later. And Tsuburaya worked really closely with Deke, so it wasn't just a edit teens over action sequence thing. Is actually a pretty good show, despite the American teen scenes being a very noticeably lower budget and a little smaller in scope, but still a pretty good show. And it always meant a whole lot to me. When this came out, I was in the 11th grade, obviously a cool kid. And I'd watch it every morning while getting ready for school. And the show's always stuck up my head. I've always really loved it. And a few years ago, there's this like sort of animated Gridman short that was on the internet for a little bit. Excuse me, I'm sorry. The co-host of Transform Squadron, Seasonal Allergies, says hi. I've actually had a bit of a cold. I live in the South, so when the weather changes, it's like an explosion of weather anarchy. It's like hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold hurricane. You know, hot, cold tornado in the middle of the day, randomly out of nowhere. We were actually driving home November 1st from going to the store to get clearance Halloween stuff, and a tornado just blew up on the road we were at, and we somehow just missed it. So you have a head cold, you know? But I was very happy when this little short came out a few years ago, and I thought it was for some sort of a pachinko game that the animation was for. That's why I was led to believe at the time. But I've learned recently that was just a animated short, you know. And it was just so refreshing to see, like, wow, Gridman, yeah. And it was a really well done short. And that somehow led to this animated series, just SSSS. That is a hard couple of letters to say in a row. But basically, I don't have to tell you, Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad, you know, in initials, Gridman. as an animated series. It's a very short series. It's only going to be 12 episodes. I think episode 5 just came out. I plan to watch it here in a little bit after I finish recording while I do some more work on Zone Base. It's great. I know you've probably seen all the references to Transformers and the character design and all over the place on it. Probably so much that you're sick of seeing it. Like every week there's a whole new slew of pictures and people finding stuff. I know you're probably sick of that, but on its own, the show's good too. And I'm just really so happy to have a new Gridman show going on right now. 25 years after Superhero Samurai Cyber Squad was over. I still regularly watch episodes of it. I'll watch an episode here and there. And it's just like, it's always been a big deal to me. So having a show back is I'm very thankful for it. And speaking of things I'm thankful for, presumably because it's always been kind of vague, sometime next year, 2019, Hasbro is going to release a new Micronauts series. Micronauts, of course, being the U.S. version of Microman in so many words. I know that's not the most exact way to describe it, but work with me. Last year, at the end of 2017, Hasbro announced their intentions to make a Micronauts cartoon series, and they showed some of the little art bits and all that from it. And that was not long after that Revolutionaries. What would you call that set? The San Diego Comic-Con set that had like Transformers, G.I. Joe, Visionaries, and Micronauts all in there. That was not long after that. And I've had I've been in the mindset that the Hasbro Micronaut toys will be like those, basically being Micro Machine style figures. I'd be totally cool if they do that. If they're not and they're more traditional toys, I'm cool with that too. But there's nothing been said about it really since then. So I guess I know it's coming out. But now that it's getting close to the end of the year, you know, it's the beginning of November, my anticipation's really rising. And in fact, the other day, last week, in a Microman group I'm in, we were all talking about the possibilities of what if Takara made a Microchange cartoon from Microman Microchange, or just a straight up Microman cartoon? You know, Micronauts didn't have a cartoon, it just had a comic series. But we were like talking about, man, what if? Because, you know, for a while there, Takara was going to basically, for their version of Transformers, was going to make it like a combination of Diaclone and Microman. And then they went ahead and went the Hasbro route for whatever reason and used our cartoon and our fiction and all that. But you got to wonder what would have been, you know, and that kind of got me back on the anticipation route, even though I've been looking forward to it rather peacefully over the past year, because there's no real reason getting super amped up over something that's not coming out for a year later, you know. You shouldn't. I don't want to spend a whole year hoping for something that comes out next, like a cartoon show. You know what I mean? Like it's something I look forward to, but I'm not going to like, yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait every day because I want to enjoy time in the moment, you know. But now that we're getting ready, 2019 is coming up. Hopefully some news of that will be showing up soon, because I'm really, really want to see what comes of that. I want to see what the show's going to be like. Hope it's good. I really expect it to be kind of more aimed at a smaller child crowd. But if it's more of a mature thing, I'm not going to complain. I'm really excited to see this and hope it's good, you know? And another thing coming out next year will be Zoids. Hasbro is doing Zoids again. Tomy had launched a new Zoids line in June called Zoids Wild. And that's really, I think, the last Zoids thing since Zoids Blocks over a decade ago. And I've always been a fan of Zoids ever since I was a kid, when they were called Robostrucks here in America. My brother and I just got a ton of them. And then as Hasbro took over from Tomy as making Zoids in America, they switched back over to variations of the Zoids name. I believe in the 90s, they used Technozoids. And then into the 2000s, just straight up Zoids or whatever for the names. And I've always loved Zoids. And I'm very happy to see them back, coming back to American store shelves. There's not much really known about that either. There's just kind of an announcement right at the beginning of October. Basically, is through like there's a little slide in a projection thing where they're just calling them Zoids. The show's Zoids Wild in Japan, but they're just calling them Zoids. And they get the little tagline, build them to life, which is kind of funny. But it's basically going to be the Zoids Wild anime. You know, of course, putting it in English for American audiences. I don't know what network or anything, just like the Micronauts. I don't really know much more than the fact that it's happening. And obviously, they're going to be bringing the toys. And if you've looked at any of the Zoids Wild's toys, they're very impressive. So I'm really looking forward to more developments on this. I'm expecting Toy Fair to really be a showcase. It's probably safe to assume it won't happen till summer or fall. That's probably a safe assumption, but I could totally be wrong, and I hope I am, because if I have new Zoids on my shelves come springtime, totally, totally looking forward to that. Now, being that I just had two subjects that I didn't know more than the initial statement that I've been going by since then, now I'm going to talk about something I've known about for a long time, because it's an old thing. I'd like to spend some time looking at the Transformers Dinobots line. This was a Transformers subline from 2003, and it's always meant a lot to me, because I just really appreciated it when it happened, for whatever reason. Let me spill back for you guys who may not know much about this or may not know anything about this, and for those who just maybe would like to know more about it. In 2003, Transformers was kind of going through a bit of a renaissance in popularity. You know, as popular as Beast Wars was, you know, it still wasn't like as huge as things were about to get into 2000s, you know, things just went crazy during the whole Beast era, up into Beast Machines, Robots in the Skies, maybe in Generation 2, there's maybe like about 20 toys a year, a cartoon, you know, popularity as it was, but not really that mainstream popularity like we would get with the movies and stuff. Well, Robots in the Skies happened, and it was a popular show, and it led into Armada, which, as despite Armada's naysayers out there, was a really popular thing. The early 2000s was a nice big boom of stuff from the 80s being popular again. You know, there's a lot of G1 stuff. The G1 commemorative reissues were at Toys R Us, as well as being released in Japan, you know, for years prior. And, you know, you'd go to Hot Topic and it'd be like an Optimus Prime t-shirt, and the Dreamwave comic had started off, and this Armada show was really popular with the kids, and it's just Transformers was getting more popular. And it was kind of an odd time, because there was a toy line that came out after Armada had been going for about a year called Universe. And Universe was basically a way to supplant toy shows that they just couldn't keep up with demand for Transformers. They went from about maybe 20 toys a year to as many as possible a year, you know. And what Universe was basically reusing older Transformers molds and newer colors to put them on shelves, okay? But prior to Universe coming out, it kind of had a bit of an identity crisis. No, it's like they didn't really know what to call it. For example, the BotCon 2002 exclusives had the title Expanded Universe, kind of like how Star Wars has Expanded Universe on their boxes. Now, it's kind of our first glimpses of this. And then as the Robots in the Skies toy line was kind of farting out, they'd put toys that clearly weren't part of Robots in the Skies under the Robots in the Skies banner, like the Supreme Optimal Optimus toy or the Megabolt and Megatron that were Beast Machines toys, but they were released as Robots in the Skies toys, you know. Cryotech, he was a Robots in the Skies toy, you know. And the Universe thing kind of came, they finally settled on Universe as this nice catch-all name for these kind of these oddball toys. A lot of stores was getting Transformers store exclusives, and they were going to be under the Universe name, even though you had a couple of that were still under Robots in the Skies, or, you know, there's like a Costco exclusive, Sam's exclusive. There's like Energon and Costco, I think, had one too. Universal's kind of that placement, you know. So during this time where they're obviously figuring out where to put things is where this cool line at Walmart came out called just Dinobots. Now, later in 2004, there was like a Transformers aisle at Walmart for like a month with tons of Universe exclusives or whatever. So it makes it even more weird how this kind of worked out with just Transformers Dinobots. It came out summer 2003. And they're around for kind of limited time. They sold out pretty quickly in my area. From what I understand, some people had them linger for a little bit on their shelves. So I guess availability really depended on where you were at the time, you know, your region. But in my Walmarts, they sold out pretty quickly. And I lucked up on getting them all right off the bat. So I didn't have anything to worry about. What it was it was like a subline of, yeah, basically, as it says, Dinobots sold at Walmart. And the toy line was just called Transformers Dinobots, okay? And it was, you could almost call it a value line because it was three releases. And the packaging was in the style of Armada packaging, that sort of sideways box that an Armada Deluxe would be. But you got two toys in each package, which made this kind of a value line. You know, it was like, at the time, an average deluxe costed you $9, which in today's world seems like, whoa, really? But a lot of us still remember, man, I used to pay $9 for these things. And at the time, a deluxe was $9. And what you got in a pack of Transformers Dinobots was a deluxe and a basic figure. A basic figure slowly started being called a scout figure by Cybertron. And there's still a few scout figures come the movie series. And they kind of, scouts kind of went away come when they introduced the Legend. You know, after a few years after the Legend figure was released, you know, Transformers started having Transformers Cyberverse, which were the Legends were renamed Legion, and a new figure class called Commander, which was kind of like a happy medium between a scout and a legion. It was a little simplified, but it was about the size of a scout, about the size of a G.I. Joe figure. And a few years later, they renamed that commander class figure Legend, making it very confusing. Okay. Basics were basically scouts before that, where they're almost like smaller deluxes. Like, they're a little more simple than a deluxe, but they're basically just kind of smaller. Like Rat Trap was a basic figure. Quick Strike from Beast Wars was a basic figure. You know, that was the best way to call it. It was like a smaller deluxe almost. And they generally ran about $7. So you basically had $17 to $18 worth of toys in the package for $9. And there's three releases. You had Grimlock and Tyranotron. It's a nonsense word. It's kind of hard to say. Tyranotron was basically Swoop. For some reason, Swoop's name was still up in copyright air, and they weren't really using it. Now, they used it later in Energon. Of course, that was like a good year and some change later. So clearly, they got things passed out by... Actually, that was maybe late summer, early fall 2004. So by then, they had the name Swoop worked out. But during this time, Swoop's name was up in copyright limbo. So they'd called him Tyranotron. Although some people at the time, I remember, swore they had copies of this toy with the name Swoop on the packaging. And I looked as much as I could till these toys disappeared for one that did say Swoop. Now, this was pre-social media. And magically, these guys never had a picture available of these Swoops they saw at the store. So it's one of those things where either someone's just straight up lying, or maybe some weird Mandela Transformers effect thing going on where, you know, the universe merged and their Swoops became Tyranitrons or something. I don't know. But Grimlock was made from the Dinobot mold from Beast Wars. And that wasn't the first time that toy was used as a Grimlock. But this was probably the best time it was used as a Grimlock, as it used classic Grimlock's colors in a very nice looking way. Like it just looked good. And then they had used Well, it was basically Terror Sore. And of course, that mold got a million uses in Beast Wars 2 for the Tyranitron swoop, you know, and it's just a great looking pack. And they have like little trading cards included into packaging, or at least they're intended to be trading cards. They're just kind of glossy slips of paper with art on them. I think at one point they were supposed to be stickers, and that got abandoned too. The other pack we had was Snarl and Sludge. Now, Snarl was the, trying to remember his name, Saberback. Saberback from Beast Wars Neo. It was that mold. Now, Saberback's mold had been used before as, was it Snarl? It had been used before in Beast Machines. I'm trying to think. I think it was Snarl. Striker. His name was Striker in Beast Machines. Maybe a good 2 years before, around in 2000, it remained in the Striker. And then not that long later in Universe, they made another Striker from it. So that mold was very widely available for a short time there. And Snarl, of course, was in your classic Dinobot colors of silver with some kind of coppery gold and red. Had an, just like Grimlock and I want to say Swoop, I'm blanking out, remember here, had some cool stripes and dino pattern in the dino mode. It just looked really good. It was just a sharp looking toy. And he came packaged with Sludge. And Sludge was a little bit more inventive. Sludge used the Sling mold from Beast Wars Neo. Now, if you've ever seen Sling, he turns into a Dimetron. Dimetrodon, I can't say the name. The dinosaur with a sail on its back. That dude. He turned into that. Now, he wasn't in your traditional Dinobot colors. He was purple and black. And he had a sort of a yellowish green coloration on him. Mainly on his sail, but also on stripes on his back. Still a pretty toy. Still a nice toy. Now, just like Swoop or Tyranitron was before, this was the basic toy. So he was smaller next to the deluxe figure. I'll be honest with you, this one was never my favorite figure, but he did look a whole lot better as Sludge as opposed to his prior use as Sling. I don't think he was ever used again after that. I can't recall a use of this mold before that. I mean, after that. I always kind of likened Sling to looking like a guy wearing pajamas because his dinosaur bits, of course, were green. And then his head and feet in robot mode were green, but his robot parts were all yellow. So it just kind of looked like he's wearing PJs running around. And you could probably say that too about this, but the purple and black really looked a lot better. The Beast Wars Neo Dinobots had a third gimmick. Not a third gimmick, excuse me. A gimmick mode. That was kind of like a third mode where they could play dead. And it was kind of like a trap. It like had, a lot of them had little spring-loaded traps or whatever. And this mold, you could basically pose them to be dead. And the trap was like a flower. A Striker had the same kind of thing where it looked like a flower was growing out of the corpse. I know, it was weird. But this had, it was the sail would open up to be like the flower. And it kind of made like a Venus flytrap looking thing. And there was a little trigger in the middle you could push and it snap close. That purple and black really looked good with this mold. And it became really common because Beast Wars Neo toys were very shell formery. You know, a lot of the, in robot mode, a lot of the kibble from the alt mode basically hung off of them. And with this toy, you could basically, one arm had the back, the tail and back legs portion of the dinosaur. And on the other arm was that big sail thing, you know, big fin. And you could open it up to make sort of a shield and kind of work around the tail to look like a sword. So it just kind of worked out better for Sludge, I always thought. Now, the third package was Triceridon and Slapper. Triceridon was, it was Slag, okay? This is around when they got where they couldn't use the name Slag that much anymore. In fact, I think at the point, at the time, they didn't have it trademarked. And then as years would go by, they start using Snarl or, I think they've been calling them Slug lately. Just the fact that Slag is apparently a derogatory term in some parts of the world. And in America, we just call it, what, Slag? What, really? You know, none of us knew that at the time. Or the ones that did just kind of looked the other way, I guess. But it was the Guildart toy from Beast Wars Neo. And probably one of the better one of those dinosaurs, in my opinion. Now, this was also used as Triceridon in Beast Machines a good year or two before, like Striker was. This time, of course, in traditional silver and gold red colors like Dinobots. Basically, his dinosaur was had the grayish, silverish, you know, deco, and his robot parts had the coppery, goldish color and red. Just really pretty toy. This is a great figure. And his dead mode was really weird because you could basically lay him down and fold off pieces of his body, showing kind of like his ribs and the blood and guts inside of him, you know, where he's laying there, he's been ripped up. And you could actually push his tongue and make his eyes roll up where he's dead. It's such a strange toy, but it's a really good figure. I'd probably say from those Beast Machine Dinobots, that was like my favorite mold because it's just such a good looking toy, you know. Now, later, I should have bet you this with the Swoop mold for the Age of Extinction toy line. Once again, Walmart, who manages to have just really great exclusives if the G1 reissues that are out now isn't a good, gives you a good enough idea. For the Age of Extinction movie line, you know, obviously the focus on Dinobots, you know, that was in the marketing, maybe not as much in the movie, but in the toy line, they use this mold as well as the Swoop in little packs that you can get exclusively at Walmart, where you have a Legion Bumblebee, and I think the other one came with a Legion. It's supposed to be Stinger. And they're painted in their movie colors, like purple and blue and stuff. It's another great use of these molds. And you know what? They were in awesome shape, you know, for all these years later. It's one of those molds that's probably one of my favorite of all time is this Gildart. Think about it. I don't think I actually have Gildart. I think I just have all the American uses, which is okay. You know, I think we got more use out of it than anything because that mold got repainted a million times over here. And for good reason, it's just a good toy. Now, Triceridon came with Slapper. Slapper was a new Dinobot member. Now, Triceridon and Pteranodon were new names for classic Dinobots. Slapper was their new rookie member. You know, he was just a new member of them. They didn't really give him any characterization or whatever, but it was totally, this is one of the treats of this line, having a new Dinobot, you know. And he was used from Bazooka. Bazooka was another Beast Machines, Beast Wars Neo Predacon. He's not even a dinosaur. Well, he's a dinosaur. That's not fair. I always want to call him. I live in the South, so I see a lot of armadillos on the road. So every time I see him, I think he's an armadillo. He's not. He's an ankylosaur. Kind of a generic ankylosaur, like, you know, when you buy the baggy of plastic dinosaurs, how they're kind of vague dinosaurs that don't really look, they aren't very accurate scientifically or whatever. He's kind of that form of ankylosaur. But I guess if you want to talk about realism and dinosaurs, I don't think they ever turned into robots. So realism's out the window as we can, you know. Much as Sludge was a Dimetron instead of a Brontosaurus, you know, we have a brand new member of the Dinobots for this, making this, it's just a refreshing, different set of Dinobots. My favorite set of Dinobots has always been the Beast Machines ones. And this set really kind of comes up with it. For some reason, I like when classic Transformers teams get variation, when they kind of reinvent them a little. And, like, I thought it was cool, like, these guys, like, Grimlock's a Velociraptor, you know, or I guess a Utah Raptor is more accurate for what he's supposed to be. And the other guys, you know, Swoop looked different, you know, his different name, but he looked different, you know what I'm saying? Or Snarl looked different, even though he's still a Stegosaurus. Does that make sense? And with this guy, with a Sludge being different than a Brontosaurus, I thought that was cool. You know, I was like, hey, I could see that guy stuck in some swamp or whatever. He's in the Sludge, just a little bitty guy. It worked for me. And with Slapper was a name reused from Robots in the Skies, the Predacon Frog. They reused that name for this guy, and that was a good name for a Dinobot, I thought. As most of them have S names anyway. But it just kind of works. Slapper, he's got this big, you know, Ankylosaur's got this big tail with a clubby bone on it. He'd slap you with that tail. You know, it just kind of worked. Now, Slapper, he was in his traditional Dinobot silver and red. His dinosaur mode was basically, that was most of all the silver was there. While the robot bits got most of the red. He looks great. I've always really liked the bazooka toy. And as Slapper, I think he looked better. There's something about Autobots in like a silver or a cream color and red that just always looks good to me. And as Slapper, he just worked. And now he is a shell former bar none. Like the dinosaur mode is basically when you transform him, you essentially unfold robot out from under the dinosaur mode, and both halves are hanging off of his shoulders. You can kind of work his tail as a clubbing weapon in robot mode, and his dinosaur head is his left hand. So it is as shell formery as he gets, and I don't care. I love it. Now, if you want to stand him up on a shelf, you might have to use those dinosaur parts to stand him up. But man, it was just a great figure. Now, when these came out, like I said, it was summer 2003. And I remember at the time, I actually had a bit of a commute from my job at the time. I worked like maybe a good 40 minutes away, maybe about an hour away. I worked at this crappy warehouse across town at the time. I kind of went through a little bit of ups and downs with job hunting and all that. And I ended up taking this job across town, really too far away to drive for the pay they gave me. But I was willing to do it at the time. I ended up quitting at the end of summer, you know. But I remember I was on my way home from work. And a friend of mine at the time who lived on the other side of the state called me and said, "Hey, the Dinobots are starting to show up. You might want to swing by a Walmart or whatever." And I was like, oh, crap, I'm totally going to do that. So I got home, changed clothes, and headed back out to this local Walmart. Sure as crap, there they all were. Grabbed each one, looked for this mysterious Mandela effect swoop that I never saw. Got my three Dinobots, went to check out. And I remember this Walmart had a McDonald's in it at the time. The Walmart's still there, but the McDonald's is long gone. But it had a McDonald's in it at the time. And I was like, you know, let me get me some supper on the way home. Because here I just got home from work. You know, I would get off work at like 5 or so, get home like usually about 6, 6:30. And then turn around, went to Walmart. It was like almost 8. Let me grab me some supper and bring it home with me. So I went to McDonald's. And I went in there. And I'm bringing this up because this always sticks in my mind as part of the Dinobot story. Because this is so weird. I went in there and there's one guy in front of me arguing with the manager of McDonald's. Apparently, the McDonald's was closing early. They didn't have any signs up or anything. It was closing early. And the guy was like, "What do you mean you're closing? It says you don't close till blah, blah, blah." And the guy was like, "Nah, man, we're closing. I got stuff to do." Oh, okay. And they were fighting left and right. And he's like, no, you can't just close like that. You got to put some signs up or something. The guy's like, "No, I got stuff to do. It's cool." It's like, no, it's not. You got to let people know you got your door wide open and you're telling them you're closed when I walk in. That's not how things work. And the manager started like they're arguing and he's like, "You want to take us outside? I'll whoop your butt." Like they started like they were going to get in a fist fight over them. Realistically, the manager probably should put up a sign, you know, and this guy was getting really frustrated about it. And the manager looked at me like, "You got a problem with it, big man?" And I was like, "I'm sorry, I'll just talk to your district manager if you're having a problem." And he went, "Yeah, you do that." And I was like, "Okay, I will." So I went home, and out of annoyance, I got Burger King on the way home, like, because I don't show McDonald's. And I wrote a letter to the McDonald's site and got this guy in trouble. Like, they called me the next day. Like, what? And I was like, yeah, he was closing the store down and fighting with a customer, and I wasn't even in the argument, man. It's such a weird story. At the time, it was much more dramatic. So I remember I was like, what was that guy's problem? I still don't know why he just didn't write a sign saying the store is closing early or something. It took him a second, but whatever. But those Walmart Dinobots are kind of one of the more obscure parts of Transformers history. Like, they just don't get covered a lot. I think someone asked the Ask Vector Sigma thing on Facebook. Not Vector Sigma, excuse me. Ask Vector Prime thing. And he said they were part of the Robots in the Skies timeline, which, you know, why not? They didn't have any fiction used for them. They weren't included in any fiction. So it really didn't matter where they were supposed to be. The Ask Vector Sigma was supposed to be somewhat official, being that it was run by, I think it was Jim Sorensen doing that. And he was doing that on behalf of Fun Publications at the time. So I think it's, I think there's some sort of officialness to it. Though I don't know exactly, I don't know how heavy the canonicity of that is. As well as I don't really think it matters that much how official it is, being that it was basically three-store exclusives put out to sell toys while they're really popular, you know. And it was a really cool toy line. And like I said, it just does not get that much play. You know, I don't know if it's fair to call it a line or a subline or anything, because it was clearly part of Universe before they got settled on the Universe name, because the Universe started showing up in stores like maybe a month or so later. Then Transformers Universe started showing up. So timing was probably everything. If they had came out in fall instead of early summer, it would have been a Transformers Universe series of toys. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of a strange thing. So I don't know if them saying it's technically a Robots in Disguise set of characters or what really matters. But they were great. And I don't know, I just want to spend a little time talking about them. I guess that's what I do on Zone Base, is talk about everything in the world. And this is one of the things in the world I felt like talking about. But I think I've talked enough about all these things in the world, like Dinobots at Walmart and the manager fighting with customers. So I'm going to get out of here and close this down for the month. Thanks, everyone, for listening. My name is Rob, and you can find me, of course, at www.zonebase.org, but also on Twitter at RoboRobSpringer and at Instagram. I use Instagram more than anything, and that's at RoboRobSpringer as well. Transform Squadron, the podcast is zonebase.org. Can be found on the TF Radio Network, which is at www.tfradio.net. And you can check that out for all the shows and showtimes. And while you're there, please check out the Amazon links. I know Brian Kilby would really appreciate you doing so. That's just an easy way to help support the network without doing anything other than shopping at Amazon, which Christmas is around the corner. I've already started ordering on Amazon. I don't know about you. But that'd be just a great way to help support the network. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next time, sometime at the beginning of December, for that edition of Transform Squadron. And please check out zonebase.org in the meantime and all the time. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Bye.